Now, from Hollywood, romance. Romance. Transcribed stories of love and adventure, of comedy and crisis, of conflict and human emotion. Today, the story of a doctor who finds out there is more than one disease of the heart. Robert Carson has written the play, and Miss Charlotte Lawrence stars in Bedside Manner.
My name is Frederick, Doc Fredericks. Anything you want to know about Blythefield, Kansas, just ask me. I was born here 65 years ago. Grew up with all of the old folks and brought most of the young ones into the world. But this was the best and proudest day of my life. After 10 solid years of working our way through school, my niece Hetty was coming for our first vacation in 10 years, coming home a full-fledged doctor, graduated with honor. I was telling George Harkness about it as the train stopped. Want to see an old theory exploded, George?
What's that, Doc?
Well, you just stick around and see what Hetty does to the one about beautiful women being dumb.
You look as proud as if she was your own daughter.
Well, by gosh, let's see, how old was she when my brother died? 2 years old? Oh, I feel like her father.
Uncle Doc!
Hetty!
Oh, Uncle Doc.
My gosh, you look great. Hey, you remember George Harkness, don't you?
Oh, sure. How are you, George?
Hi, Hetty. Hi.
Well, what's the matter with you? Can't you look a lady straight in the eye when she says hello?
Well, don't rush me, Doc. I'm the kind of a man who looks at a woman from the ground up. I'll get to her face in good time. Hi, Hetty. Say, can I repeat myself?
Hello, George. How's your wife?
Who?
Lolita, remember?
Goodbye, Eddie.
Hey, where are you going, George? I thought you wanted to lift back to the factory.
No, I got
to
stop at the public library. I want to read up on what kind of disease I can come down with in a hurry.
Oh, I can't get over it. I've been away over 10 years and nothing has changed. Absolutely nothing. Same old house?
Same old housekeeper.
You get younger all the time, Anna.
Ho-ho! Some folks can't see the forest for the trees. Population here jumped about 3,000 since the factory started up again. How could you miss seeing all the new buildings in the trailer court?
What are they making now?
Jet bombers?
That's what our senator calls converting a war plant to peacetime products, and your uncle voted for him.
Now, now, Anna, no politics. Hetty's first day home.
I'll just hot up this coffee for you.
Fine. I'll give Hetty another piece of your special cake.
And put it on the plate alongside of the first piece I gave her.
What? Well, I thought you liked Anna's applesauce cake.
She loves it. She just likes being whistled at more.
I didn't see you at the station.
Land sakes life. George Harkness hardly got the pucker out of his lips before I got 3 phone calls to tell me how he whistled at her.
Well, maybe I'm old-fashioned, but I like girls with a little bulk on them.
You're not old-fashioned. You're obsolete.
Oh.
Don't talk about anything important now till I get back to eavesdrop.
Well, now, Hetty.
Oh, don't try to be subtle, Uncle Doc. Obviously, you intend to change my mind, so I'll stay here in Blythefield. All right. Go ahead.
Well, thanks for making it easy for me.
Oh, I don't mean to be difficult. But I just don't want to practice medicine. Not here or anywhere.
Oh, I see. Well, I can understand that.
Can you?
Sure. Just can't understand why you found it necessary to finish medical school and then intern before you reach that decision.
In exactly 6 weeks, I started the Enderley Foundation for Medical Research. A nice, clean little 9-to-5 job among the test tubes. No Saturdays and no night calls.
What about people?
Well, who do you think the research is for? The test tubes?
Okay. Now hear me out. Despite the increase in our population, Blythefield still has only 2 doctors, me and Doc Johnson.
Oh, is he still alive?
Thanks for helping out with my argument.
Uncle Doc, I got my medical degree only to fit myself for medical research. I'm no Florence Nightingale, no selfless angel. I'm only human.
Well, what law says that you can't be human and be a doctor at the same time?
Biology.
What?
And men.
Come again?
There may be something romantic about a man doctor.
Romantic?
But I learned in medical school that no man gets dreamy about a woman doctor. Not even interns, and they go for anything. Men just don't like their women in white. Unless it's an evening gown, cut way down to here.
What happened to the dream about being the best doctor in Blythefield?
I remembered what Blyfield did to another woman, Doctor. My mother.
Oh, that old prejudice doesn't exist anymore. Today, a sick man doesn't care who cures him, man, woman, or animal.
But I don't want to meet any sick man. I want a nice, strong, healthy, physical specimen, capable of giving me children and a home. In short, when I reach out for a man, I don't want to have to take his pulse before I dare kiss him.
You're talking like an idiot, woman.
I am a woman. I want to get married. I'm going to get married.
Don't shout! You got anyone in mind?
Well, no one definite. I'm still shopping. Casing mankind, as it were.
Well, I don't see why you can't practice medicine while you look.
Oh, something happens to me, Uncle Doc. I'm either a doctor, all antiseptic and efficient, or I'm a woman. I can't manage to be both at the same time.
Seems to me you haven't met a man.
Doc, get ready. Feller got his leg bashed in down at the turnpike.
I'm on my way.
Yeah, it took you long enough to get back.
Well, it was more than a bashed leg. It was a truckload full of assorted fractures and contusions.
For land's sake's alive now. Don't sit down. Everyone in town's getting sick tonight. Here, Miss Carson has her gallbladder. And Angus Barry's youngest busted his arm.
Don't rush me. Where's Hetty?
Well, she took a couple of the calls for you. She's out to the trailer camp.
Thank you, Hetty.
What's left of me?
Thanks for helping out.
Ha! Oh, if I didn't know for sure how long it takes a woman to have a baby, it's where you arrange things tonight.
Anything I should know about?
Well, you can cross the Brown, Verity, and Smith deliveries off your list. All boys.
How's Mrs. Verity?
I did a cesarean section.
She had me worried. Been saving this bottle of cordial for something special. Kind of sweet. You care to join me, or are you still concerned with the size of your hips?
Let them spread. I'm too tired to care.
Before Hetty knew what hit her, she was practicing medicine right along with me. Nature was pretty cooperative, too. In rapid succession, we had an outbreak of diphtheria, chickenpox, and the good old reliable flu. Every expectant mother on my list delivered ahead of schedule. And always in the middle of the night.
Doc, don't you dare sit down. I have a bonus for you. Everyone at the church bazaar came down with ptomaine poisoning. Doc, I didn't think anything else could possibly happen, but it did. The nerve of that man. You better treat him yourself. I'll kill him, so help me. He did it for spite.
Treat who? For what? What spite?
The company doctor out at the factory came down with the flu, and they want us, I mean you, to take over his practice for a while.
So we cleared out the dining room and the sun porch and ran a kind of clinic to take care of the factory personnel. Hetty and I took turns, 4 hours on duty, 4 hours out on calls, all through the 24.
Just take pills every 3 hours.
Excuse me, I didn't know you were on the phone.
It's no trouble at all. Call me if there's anything you don't understand. Fine. Oh, not another patient, Anna. Give me a minute to breathe.
And let him bleed all over the new rug? I should say not. Bring him right on in here, George.
Okay. Well,
George Harkness drove this one over from the factory himself.
Hello, George.
Hi, Hetty. Hetty, this is Morgan Hale. He had an accident.
Oh, he sure did. Mm. Sit him down. I'll clean him up.
Okay. Over here, Morgan. Sit down.
Right.
Yeah, all right. Take it easy. I'll be all right.
This may hurt a little.
Ow!
Oh, it's not that bad. Hold still. Hmm? That's pretty nasty.
So are you. Hey, ouch!
Quiet.
Look, if it's all the same to you, miss, I'll wait till Doc Fredericks gets back.
He'll be in about 6, and I don't think he can afford to bleed that long.
Hetty's a doctor, Morgan. Why not let her help you?
You're a doctor?
You haven't time to check all my credentials. Take my word for it.
Morgan, she's a real doctor, honest.
And don't think I wouldn't deny it if I could. Look, that cut has to be stitched in a hurry.
Well, I suppose being a lady, you'll make neater stitches. Okay.
Very funny. There you are. Don't try to change the dressing yourself. Call me if you have a severe headache. Otherwise, I'll see you the day after tomorrow at 10 a.m.
Okay.
I'll get you a couple of pills to take with you.
You okay now, Morgan?
Yeah. Hey, she's not bad looking, is she? Nice walk.
You're okay.
1 every 4 hours if the pain is bad.
All right, thanks. Doc, is it okay for me to have lunch?
Oh, by all means.
All right, what time shall I pick you up?
I'm too busy for lunch. Thanks, just the same.
Oh, I'll wait for you.
Yeah, I'll wait with you. I'm not doing anything.
You go home to your wife. Now, how about dinner, Doc?
Oh, sorry, can't make that either.
Patience waiting, Doc.
Well, look, you've got to eat sometime.
Look, I'm pretty busy now. You go along with George.
Okay, I'll go, but I want you to know that turning me down hurts.
I gave you some pills for your pain.
Hello? What? Oh, just a minute. You want the other Dr. Fredericks. Your patient, Eddie.
Oh, thanks, Doc. Hello?
Hello, Doctor. How are you?
Who is this?
Oh, don't be coy. It's Morgan Hale. The guy with the busted head. Your hem stitched me this morning. You said to call if I had a headache, remember?
Oh, yes. Are you ill?
Oh.
Feel faint?
No.
Any sensation of double vision or numbness in your arms and legs?
No, I'm fine. I had a headache about 3 o'clock, but I couldn't get near a phone then. You said to call if I had a headache, though, and I'm just reporting that I did. What do I do now?
Just lie down and shut your mouth. You'll be all right.
But,
goodbye.
Doc,
aren't you being a little tough?
Well, I warned you what to expect. I'm either a doctor or a woman. Not both at the same time.
We'll return to romance in just a moment. Rhythm rides high on our rock and roll dance party again tonight when the Traineers join forces with Count Basie, his orchestra, and featured vocalist Joe Williams to give your ear a treat with that rock and roll beat. Tonight and every Saturday night, over most of these same stations, listen for our rock and roll dance party. And now for the second act of Romance.
You're healing beautifully, Mr. Hale. I don't think you're going to have a scar after all.
Oh, well, that's great. I was worried about that.
I'll bet.
Hey, what do you know? You smiled.
And with my own teeth, too. Hold still, and I'll get those stitches out.
Now, if you take them out, what excuse will I have for seeing you?
Oh, not that again. I'm too busy for games.
Doesn't anything happen when I hold your hand?
Well, sure. I take your pulse, and it's pretty erratic.
Try listening to my heart.
I've heard it.
Didn't they teach you the facts of life at that medical school you went to? Holding hands and listening to hearts can be fun.
It's a nice line, but it doesn't work on a doctor. Right outside that door, I have one abscess to lance, one cast to put on, and 3 vaccinations.
Oh, you have a very narrow outlook. Look beyond the door, into the future. Don't you want a man around?
Oh, I have my dreams. One of these days, I'll get out of Blyfield and into medical research again.
You're making a big mistake. I'm quite a catch.
Let's just say I'm taking a calculated risk, okay?
No, I think too much of you to let you throw yourself away. There's a way to reach you. I'll find it.
You can reach me anytime you're in pain, but only then. I'm too busy for anything else. Hello?
Eddie?
Yes.
This is George, Hetty. You better come right over. Morgan needs you.
What? Oh. All right. I'll be right over. Now, where's the emergency?
I wouldn't bother you, Hetty, but Morgan's pretty important out at the factory, and the way he's been acting, I don't know how much longer I can cover up for him.
What seems to be the trouble?
Well, it's just awful the way he carries on, Hetty, just awful.
Oh, I didn't see you, Lolita. How are you?
I'm fine, but never mind me. Now, what about poor Morgan?
Where is he?
Right in here. Morgan? Morgan, honey? Morgan?
He's not under the bed.
Oh, well, I'll try the closet. Morgan? Are you in there?
Now, who told you to come barging in here? Go away. Give me some privacy.
The doctor's here to see you. Come on out, honey.
Go away.
Hetty, do you think that bump on his head could have had anything to do with this?
Come out of that closet and let me look at you.
I'm afraid.
too light.
Turn off everything but that bedside lamp.
Sure, Doc.
All right, Mr. Hale. Come on out now.
All right.
Hello, Doc. I just didn't want you to see me looking like this. I feel awful, and I look worse.
Go back to bed. Do you mind, George? Lolita, I want to examine him.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Sure, go ahead, Doc.
Alone?
When I rented this apartment from Lolita, she said I couldn't have any women visitors in my bedroom.
Morgan, honey, Hetty's not a woman. She's a doctor.
Physically, you seem all right.
It's my head, isn't it? I thought so. I thought I was getting stupid.
You're as bright as you ever were, if that's any consolation to you. You've probably been working too hard.
I'm tired. I wake up tired. But it's the other things.
What other things?
The getting scared.
Of what?
Of almost everything now. Of people, the factory, the machines, even shaving. Look at my face. I started to shave 4 times today. I was too jittery.
Well, maybe you're still worried about that accident you had.
I wasn't even scared when I had it. That never bothered me.
Anything else on your mind? In love? Drinking more than usual?
Nope. All I want to do is sit in that nice, dark closet.
What happens when you go to work?
Well, I got a closet there, too.
I see. Here, take these pills right now. You need some sleep.
Okay. Now what?
Now we see how you feel after a good night's rest. Call me tomorrow.
Anything you say, Doc. What's wrong
with
him?
He'll be all right.
Well, physically, he's fine.
Oh, he certainly is.
But he needs a psychiatrist. And that's out of my line. I'm afraid I can't do any more for him.
You can't just walk out on him. You're his doctor. You're responsible for him.
Doc, are you up? I hit the medical jackpot tonight.
I know all about it. George Harkness woke me up, wanted to know what kind of a doctor you were anyhow, to even think of walking out on a patient.
Well, the fact that I'm completely untrained to cope with psychoneurosis makes no difference.
Not in Byfield. Well, I don't know the first thing about it either, but I'm reading up on the stuff until someone more qualified comes along.
Okay, hand over the books.
You sure it's not a delayed concussion?
No, he wasn't hit hard enough for that. It's a fine case of pantophobia. Fear of everything. Well, what do you know? I remember that much. Pantophobia. Well, well. Let's see what the books say about that. Page 367.
Mm-hmm. Try having a few sessions of free association. See what happens.
Well, that's an idea. Think about it. Got to get him out of that closet long enough to eat, anyhow. Now, Mr. Hale, what else do you remember about closets?
Oh, look, this is crazy. I'm crazy.
Well, you're just disturbed, Mr. Hale.
Well, at least call me Morgan so that this will seem friendlier, huh? Coming here every night talking about myself makes me feel like a fool.
Well, something deep inside you is at fault, and we've got to find out what it is. We might be lucky enough to get at it through these sessions, and then again, we might not. But until someone more qualified turns up, I've got to try and help you. You've got to try and help yourself.
Okay.
Did you go to work today?
Yeah.
How did you do?
Fine. Every time there was a knock on the door, I hid under the desk. This keeps up, and you'll have my secretary for a patient, too, you know. She's really going nuts.
What was the first thing in your life that you can remember being scared about?
Oh, that's easy. I was about 3 years old. I had this... I guess about the only time I ever disliked girls, I was about 9 years old. By the time I was 10... I had a ball at college, captain of the football team, president of the junior class, and then this redhead I told you about last night left school just about the same time that I met the other girl. Talk about perfect timing. Doc, is any of this stuff going to help you?
Oh, it might. Give me time.
We got a clue yet? I still hide in that closet, you know.
Well, so far, all I can gather from your whole life is that there's been one girl after another since you were 9.
10. Hey, maybe that's it. Maybe I'm lonesome.
I was out at the factory today and walked over to your office.
About 3 o'clock? Was that you?
Yes.
Oh, I heard the door open. I got scared to death. Why didn't you come in?
Don't you know?
Oh, that. My secretary only put her arms around me to make me stop shaking. She's a good kid.
Uncle Doc, according to every psychiatry book, there comes a time when the patient undergoes a transference and thinks he's in love with his doctor. But nowhere is there anything that tells the doctor what to do when she falls in love with the patient.
You're not serious.
Oh, serious enough to want to set up housekeeping with him in an asylum if I can't cure him.
Well, what happens now?
I face facts. I can't walk out on him while he's sick, and I can't keep him sick. That'd be malpractice. On the other hand, if I do cure him, that's the end of it. He'll be out of love with me.
Well, suppose he was cured. Cured and in love with you.
And how are you going to arrange that small-sized miracle?
Same way I got him crazy.
What?
Well, you were too busy being a doctor to be a woman. He wanted a date with you, so I advised him to take up your time professionally for a while till you could get used to the idea of being both.
I am so mad, I could scream.
Go ahead. Might help you get rid of some hostility.
I got news for you, Doc. I'm cured.
I have news for you. So am I. So, you're not afraid of anything anymore, hmm?
Nope.
Wait till you see my bill.
It'll be cheap at any price. Well, thank you, Doctor. Goodbye.
Just a minute.
Huh?
Do you think you can walk out on me like that? No explanation? No nothing?
Doctor, aren't you well?
No, I'm not. I'm torn between screaming and crying, and I'm afraid you're going to leave me. I'm out. Oh, darling. How much of that life story was true?
Baby, would you be happier if I told you I made half of it up?
All those women. I'd be happier if you told me you made all of it up.
As a doctor and a psychologist, you'd know I was lying.
Didn't my uncle tell you my problem? How I can't be a doctor and a woman at the same time? Go ahead, darling. Lie to me.
Romance is produced and directed by Anthony Ellis. Tonight's story was written by Robert Carson and adapted by Irene Winston. Miss Charlotte Lawrence starred as Hetty. Others in the cast were Victor Rodman, Stacey Harris, Helen Klebe, Herb Ellis, and Vivi Janis. Music supervision by Jerry Goldsmith. This is Dan Cumberly inviting you to hear Romance transcribed next week at this same time. How mean can a man get? The standards of meanness may change from time to time and place to place, but it's difficult to conceive of anybody meaner than the man you'll meet in old-time Dodge City when you hear Gunsmoke in just another moment or two. This critter is so mean that Marshal Dillon closes Dodge City to him. Don't miss the excitement on Gunsmoke. It follows immediately over most of these same stations.